Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello everyone, hello football fans around the world, and welcome to the Squawker Talker. This week we're talking about a range of things around the world of football. I'm joined today by Squawker Dave. Hello Dave.
Hi Nick, how are you mate?
I'm good, thank
Excellent.
You. Also joining us is James McManus, back on the pod again. Hi James.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you again. Also joining us, we're very pleased to have Vaishali Bardwaj, digital sports reporter at the Evening Standard. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, good. What do you think of our studio? Yeah, we need to work on the eggshells on the walls, but it's all good. Let's go straight into Villarreal-Liverpool, a very interesting game yesterday. Obviously, Liverpool kind of Klopp setting up quite pragmatically by Charlie. Very sort of approach. It was almost Benitez-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did have sort of remnants of a Benitez team. I think if you look at the team that you put out, the starting 11, you kind of could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to put out a team who'd work hard, push Villarreal. Of course, they play from the back. And it did work to a certain extent. I just felt that as the game wore on, with the amount of passes that were coming into the box, the fact that no one really was getting onto the end of those crosses, I really felt that he should have brought on a recognised striker, earlier on than Benteke, who we brought on quite late on, a few minutes ago. And I would personally have liked to have seen Sturridge come on. So I feel like Liverpool missed a trick there yesterday. Certainly, I think that even if they hadn't wanted to go out and win the game, losing the game, conceding goals so late on as well, it was a real disappointment for Liverpool fans.
James, it's not exactly a disaster. It's 1-0. As Klopp said, you know, come to Anfield and see what you're made of. But he said they made one big mistake during the game. Obviously, Alberto Moreno not tracking the runner was a big one. But did Klopp make a mistake by not featuring Sturridge at all? Is that a bit of an oversight on his part?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I can see what he was going for. Some of our best performances this season have been with Firmino in like the drawn deep line role, because he's fantastic at pressing, certainly more so than Sturridge. But I was surprised that he didn't bring him on off the bench. Bringing on Benteke and then saying he brought him on to defend a set piece seemed a bit confusing to me. Because
very un-Klopp.
Yeah, and they didn't really have a fantastically threatening aerial presence for the Real either. So I thought there were a few good spots last night. Lucas played really well. Again, I thought Joe Allen had another excellent performance. Kolo, just doing Kolo things, just being solid.
That's what he does.
Taking no prisoners. Moreno letting us down yet again. Just bombarding forwards in the 90th minute. It's just bonkers, isn't it?
He's out in the summer, isn't he?
I think so. He's too attacking. He doesn't suit English football. He commits too many basic errors. He's clumsy. He's just a quick bloke, basically. If he wasn't that fast, he wouldn't be a professional footballer.
Interesting point. David, we got to... David, that was so formal. I've never addressed you that formally.
Who are you talking to, Nick?
Squawker Dave. We got to have a good look at Villarreal yesterday, and everyone was pretty impressed with how organised they are and what they look like as an outfit.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how Spanish football has gone one of two ways for most of the clubs. You've got teams like Villarreal and Atletico Madrid that play a 4-4-2. They're compact, they press very well. But what I like about them is they're not too direct in a way that they play out of situations. It's not like they're sort of sitting really back and then they're hitting long balls down the flank. They're actually playing out of situations, and both Atletico and Villarreal have showed this week that this system and this style of football works. And it's the other sort of Spanish way. You look at Barcelona, that's one Spanish way, and then you've got Villarreal and Atletico Madrid. And it's just good to see how a league develops in a way, because we were seeing the 4-2-3-1 for the last 10 years in La Liga as being the standard formation. Barcelona have now come out with the 4-3-3, and now we're playing a 4-4-2. It's really nice to see that, but I was really impressed with a number of players. Denis Suarez obviously was my man of the match, was absolutely brilliant, but then he was drifting in and out of games, but he made the key contribution. You know, before he got the assist for the goal, on the 87th minute he played a brilliant through ball to Bakambu, who probably should have scored. This for Liverpool was for me, was quite a good result in a way, just the 1-0. Bakambu was clean through. He also hit the post in the game, so it could have been a lot worse than it was. Liverpool didn't play badly, but I just felt Villarreal had a little bit more. You know, they're very unexpected to see a team play so well out of the back, being pressed so high up, and it was just really impressive to see, especially Bruno. You know, someone that's been at Villarreal for, 8 years? His whole career was there in the Secunda when they got relegated. Again, had a cracking performance, completed the joint most passes on the pitch, 65 passes, and really just dominated that central zone. And Liverpool just struggled to get near Villarreal when they started having those wonderful passing manoeuvres. And, you know, it's going to be a great second leg because it sets up perfect. Liverpool having to attack and Villarreal having to do what they want to do, which is counter-attack.
Dave, that was amazing. The number of
sorry for the rant.
The number of points you made there was...
I might just leave.
That was incredible. Vaishali, Dave mentioned the second leg. Obviously, Liverpool had 14 shots to Villarreal's 9, but only 5 inside the area compared to Villarreal's 4. They struggled to get a goal, and they obviously weren't set up to get a goal. Is it going to be a case of the blitz is back at Anfield in the second leg?
Yeah, I'd imagine that Klopp starts a striker up front. I think it'll be Sturridge. I hope it's Sturridge.
Should be. He's the form.
It should be. Yeah, he's scoring goals. He's in form. He's kind of put his injury woes behind him now. You know, he's looking sharp. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't start. I think he'll start, and I think Liverpool will go for it. I mean, they have to. They have to score two goals now. And if Villarreal score, that's 3 goals. So it's like a Dortmund all over again for them. They're going to use their home support to really rally them up. Because you know, this will be their first chance to get into a final. For a decade?
Yeah.
So this is really important for them. It could salvage something from this season, which has been quite up and down for them.
Yeah, they desperately need a trophy as well. Speaking of trophies, there might be the big one this weekend. Leicester City go to visit Manchester United. Can Van Gaal stop Leicester? James, do they even want to? They're probably focused on the FA Cup now, aren't they?
I think United are going to stop them, personally. I think this is a big game. Maybe not historically or geographically, but this is a game United players will get up for. United players don't want someone to win the title at Old Trafford. Mm. They might not be presented with the trophy in front of the fans, but it's basically going to be a ticker tape parade outside of Old Trafford afterwards from the away fans. And Van Gaal has an excellent record in big games as United manager, and I can see him pooping the party. Is that the right term? Party poopers?
Party pooping.
Not pooping the party.
Not pooping the party.
Maybe they'll do that. Just made up one then. Okay.
Dave, if you were to design a team which could expose Van Gaal's tactical weaknesses, you'd probably draw up something not dissimilar to Leicester City, wouldn't you?
I think, yeah, minus Jamie Vardy is the big one, because obviously United can't deal with pace in behind, especially down the channels, and Jamie Vardy being suspended is like a blessing in disguise, and I think that's really going to cause Leicester a lot of problems breaking. You've got Ojoa and Ogazaki who aren't the quickest players. They're decent players. Both are, you know, Ojoa did very well in the previous game, scoring 2 goals and playing
Schlupp
very
as well.
Schlupp. I think that's the sort of issue that we've got now, is dealing with Mahrez and Schlupp instead of dealing with a striker that drifts wide, which is the big kind of issue with Manchester United this season. They just can't defend wide areas when teams break on them. But it's going to be really interesting. I think Schlupp up against whichever right back he goes, Darmian or Valencia or Fousou Mensah. I don't know who he's going to go with there, but it'd be interesting to see how Anthony Martial goes up against Danny Simpson, because Martial is in absolute flying form at the moment, been directly involved in 21 goals in all competitions, 14 goals and 7 assists. He's United's go-to man. And if Leicester can deal with Anthony Martial, they'll win the game. But that's a big, big question.
Yeah, I mean, I think what will be really interesting is the fact that, United are focusing very much on the FA Cup. But they are 5 points behind Man City and Arsenal, and they've got a game in hand. If they win this game, they've got a really big chance of securing Champions League football.
That's quite a long time away as well, isn't it, the FA Cup final? It's about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, so they're going to have their sights set on trying to, you know, kind of close that gap between themselves and City and Arsenal. So I think they're going to have a lot of motivation. Having said that, Leicester, you know, you've seen Mahrez's quotes from this week when he said, this team, they're made of fighters, and they're going to really be going for it, I think, make sure they try and win this weekend.
Yeah, if United continue getting points at their current rate, they'll have around 66. That's never really been enough for Champions League football in the Premier League. And, you know, it's usually around sixth place, sort of round about then. Open question, how does this team, this Van Gaal side, you know, they've got a chance of a trophy, there's slim chance of Champions League football. How does it compare to sort of Moyes' sides? What do you reckon? Because that Moyes side was picked apart, but it doesn't look like, if anything, they've gone backwards, surely.
They've just gone sideways and down a different, you know, Moyes
sitting,
was, sitting at the back. And, Louis van Gaal sort of builds up from the back really slow. You know, his football worked in 95 with Ajax, but it hasn't really worked from there. Obviously, it worked for AZ Alkmaar in a very poor Eredivisie, but at the top level, Bayern Munich, similar problem. I remember watching Bayern Munich when he was there, and it, literally the centre-backs used to play the ball to each other for like 10 minutes in a row, and it was really boring. It's similar to what's at United, but recently it's got a lot better in terms of the style. A lot more, you know, younger players there, pacing the side, Rashford, Anthony Martial, who I mentioned before, and player Jesse Lingard, who's gone under the radar a bit. Not the the biggest fan of Jesse Lingard in terms of, I think he's a bit too weak. He needs to massively hit the gym in the summer if he wants to become a proper footballer. But what I like about him is his movement, his intelligence. He's probably one of the most intelligent players in the team. If he could just get a bit of brawn, get a bit of physicality in there, and then work on his finishing. Again, he got played through by Wayne Rooney in the semi-final of the FA Cup. Probably should have scored. Just a bit of composure, a bit of strength, and he'll be a cracking player. But the differences in the sides are, one is counter-attacking, one was geared to hit teams on the break, and the other one is a possession-based, boring side.
I think the Van Gaal's like legacy hunting at the moment. He's just given as many debuts as
legacy
he can.
Legacy hunting. Yeah. Sounds like a great film.
It's probably on Dave as well. So he's just given as many debuts as he can possibly get out before he thought he was going to get sacked. It kind of looks like he might be staying on another year now. It was leaked in the Telegraph in Holland, which he used to be a columnist for. So I imagine that's a pretty good source. Mm. But he is bringing through some exceptional young players, but I saw an interesting quote where he keeps comparing Rashford to Kluivert, and then a journalist asked him, do you take credit for that? He was like, should the academy take credit for that? He went, no, I should take credit for that.
What absurd.
Yeah, but I guess he really wants to nail it down that he's brought through these players. That he always mentioned Xavi at Barcelona, Iniesta at Barcelona, Müller at Bayern. He wants everyone to know that he brought through Rashford, he brought through Fosu Mensah, and I don't think this is you can even compare him to the Moyes one. The Moyes team was an exceptionally underperforming team of very good players. This is a very young, raw team learning its way.
Mm.
So.
I mean, it's interesting as well. If you look back to when United lost to Stoke and they'd lost four games in a row just before Christmas, stats showed that Moyes' team was actually better than Van Gaal's team. But what's been interesting to see is that how United have actually reacted to certain losses, like after Tottenham. Mm. They've come back, they've won some games, and it's kind of been a really bizarre season for them. Some really, really low points and some really good points as well. So, yeah, I think it's hard to, compare them. But yeah, it's just been a big mixture, I think.
It's a lot more like it's highs and lows. Moyes was just standardly average, like pretty average side. But then this has been like FA Cup semi-final, FA Cup quarter-final, but then losing these other games, which is pretty big. But then doing a number of your rival, obviously losing to Liverpool in the Europa League was a massive blow. You know, credit to Liverpool, they played very well on both nights and thoroughly deserved to go through, barring that, obviously, drug incident with that's been pulled up for doping, which obviously potentially something the UEFA needs to review.
That case is ongoing.
Ongoing case. Let's obviously ongoing nothing's happened yet. You know, no liables. But with that, it's quite interesting how to get a game sort of suspended or needs to be replayed or whatever a team goes through, they need two players to get caught for it. So it's similar to what happened to Arsenal. I think it was last season against Dynamo Zagreb where their captain got done for some sort of incident earlier this year. Yeah. But it's quite interesting that it has to be two players, not just one.
That is interesting. That's nowhere near the question that was asked.
But we went on a bit of a
We went on a tangent. We almost got the company sued. Yeah, it was all perfect. Good. It was all good. let's talk a bit more about Leicester City. I want to ask you guys, because I mean, if they do win, it's going to be an unbelievable achievement. How does Leicester City's potential achievement rank in, you know, the history of sport? I've got a couple of examples. Greece 2004, Liverpool 2005. Porto winning the Champions League, Goran Ivanišević winning at Wimbledon, John Daly winning the Masters, Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson. Vaishali, how amazing is this achievement? Like, in terms of, you know, I'm going to use the word pantheon. I'm not sure I'm using it correctly, but how does it rank?
I think it's got to be up there with one of the most, you know, kind of remarkable wins. Because, of course, they went from relegation battlers to, potential champions. I think if we're ranking them, Greece 2004 and Goran Ivanišević. For me, those two were similar in terms of scale because Greece came in, no one expected them to win the Euros. They didn't beat Portugal in the final. Goran Ivanišević, he was a wild card entry and he went on to win it. I think it's that kind of extreme, going from one extreme where no one in any way, shape or form thinks you're going to win it to winning it. That's kind of what Leicester have done. They've gone from battling the drop to potentially winning it. For me, that extreme is kind of similar to Greece and Ivanišević, I think.
I think it is, out of everyone you just mentioned there, it's the biggest achievement because it's over a league season. The three football ones we have there is Greece 2004, Liverpool 2005, Porto Champions League. They're probably having to win in between seven and ten games to win those tournaments. Yeah. Leicester are doing it over 38 games, and they've led from the front about 25, 26 game weeks. That's a good point. They've scored the first goal in 25 games a season in the Premier League, which is the most of any team. So they have a game plan, they stick to it, they know what they're good at. I think that's you can account for certain elements of luck with like Liverpool's run, Porto's run, Greece's run, but came up against a team on off like having an off day, but Leicester haven't had off days. Like they are the best team. Like everyone's saying Spurs are the best team, and they probably are if you're talking about aesthetically. But they drew too many games at the start of the season. But the best team is the team that's most consistent, and that has been Leicester. So.
You mentioned Spurs. Very quickly, Jamie Vardy or Harry Kane are probably going to get the Golden Boot this season. It'll be the first time there's an outright Premier League Golden Boot winner who's English since Kevin Phillips.
Say that.
In 1999-2000. That's unbelievable, 16 years.
Ben played him on the right wing when he got his England call up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really earned that right wing.
There's something about England managers playing top strikers on the right wing.
Andy Johnson as well when he got his England call up. Yeah. I was like, what's the
Jamie
point?
Jamie Vardy played against San Marino on the left, which is absolutely remarkable. Dave, Leicester City and obviously Jamie Vardy, how does their achievement rank?
I think it's got to be up there, definitely. I think a great point about the competition, tournaments. Quite interesting, that Greece team, it was quite similar to Leicester. It was built on a good defence. At the start of the season, Leicester weren't built on a good defence. They were built on a good counter-attacking unit. But as teams worked them out and sat deeper, they've had to be good. They've had to be resolute. And it's great to see a team play quite an Italian style in a way. You know, at the start of the season, you wouldn't say it was very Ranieri-esque team. You'd say it was still a Pearson team. But I think at the end of the season now, we're seeing the Ranieri side to it. That's keeping the clean sheets, nicking a goal and just sitting back and defending. And they're doing that very well. And it's so surprising to see someone like Wes Morgan, who, when he came to the Premier League, was mocked, you know, incredibly for his positional play and whatever. But it seems like whatever Ranieri said to him in terms of how to deal with certain situations, it's really working, and that is credit to the coaching.
Yeah, no, fair enough. An incredible achievement. Let's turn our attention a little bit to Arsenal versus Norwich. Now, normally we'd never talk about this game, but there's some extraordinary quotes from Wenger in his pre-match press conference today. I'll read the full quotes because they're worth it. I won't put an accent on, though. I'll avoid that. One of the values I've experienced over the years is to stick together and to support the team. There's no success otherwise. We have to fight and not feel sorry for ourselves. We have a good professional attitude, and even if we are frustrated, we have to focus on our next game. Liverpool is a good example to follow because they are a big club. We are a very big club. I can understand the frustrations of our fans, but despite that, we want to support our team. The best chance to give them is to get behind the team. There are some groups of people that try to manipulate our fans. I believe apart from a personal agenda or a big ego, there is not a lot behind it. Vaishali, those two lines especially, mentioning Liverpool as a good example to follow, those are extraordinary quotes. I mean, do the fans play their part in Arsenal's issues this season? Are they too demanding? What do you make of that?
It's a difficult one. Arsenal fans, in a lot of ways, have a right to demand more from this team. Certainly when they were top of the league in January and they've fallen off. And, you know, you see some of the performances by some of the players and just the way that they kind of lack that fight since January. I can see why Arsenal fans have been really disappointed in their team. I do also feel that booing teams off when it's like a goalless draw, for example, at halftime, you know, some of the reaction that Arsene Wenger has had, it's distracting. I don't see how it could not be distracting for players. And I think that, I don't know how much it would have played a part in results, but it would have affected players. And it's not nice to see, certainly. But, you know, Arsenal fans, they've been like, what, 10 years, more than 10 years without a trophy, without the Premier League title. They want to win the title. And they're just voicing their frustrations, I think.
I think it's a big thing. Like, if I ever went to football, I'd never boo my team. There's no point. What's the point? You're going to watch your team to support them. You're singing songs about them. You're cheering when they score. Why boo them? It doesn't help. For me, it doesn't help anything. And if I go to a game or whatever and I see my fellow fans booing my team, you know, I'm going to be like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because it just seems so negative. And it installs that negativity in the side. And yeah, the players will hear that. It's not, they're not robots. And I think that's the thing that potentially Arsenal fans may take a little bit of blame for, is the sort of criticism that we've had this season. But again, it hasn't been good enough. I don't understand why Alexis Sanchez hasn't had a run up front. it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, he scored 12 goals playing wide. If he goes up front, he's going to get 20 goals, to, you know, 25 goals. So similar to the likes of someone like Aguero, someone that can press from the front, someone that can harry, and someone that can't track back. And I think that's been a big issue for Arsenal this sort of this year, in a way, in 2016, is that the wide players aren't tracking back and aren't making a compact unit, hence Arsenal getting caught on the break. And it's a simple solution, but again, potentially falls with Wenger.
Dave, you've done it again. You've answered a different question. It was beautiful, though. James, are Arsenal fans too demanding?
Yes and no. I think you have two camps of Arsenal fans. You have the pre-Invincibles lot, who I think are probably a bit more reasonable, but they're also quite Wenger out. And then you have the after-Invincible season, and they've just got this warped view that Arsenal have always played this particular brand of football. And it's basically they've been mollycoddled on the success of that and style of that team and subsequent teams, that they demand that every year now. And it's Barcelona weren't playing this tiki-taka style of play for years before Pep Guardiola. They played it a bit under Cruyff, but there was a lull in between. And it's just like that group of fans have basically forgotten George Graham, like, completely.
So you're saying that without that Invincibles, the Invincibles season basically made...
raised expectations so highly that they're unachievable. You're not going to get an unbeaten team every other year. It's basically ruined a whole part of Arsenal's fan base's expectations, and they're just not realistic enough. But on the flip side, I can understand why they are incredibly frustrated. The title was there for the taking this season. Leicester are going to win it with 79-80 points, which must be one of the lowest totals ever to win the league. And Arsenal have quality all over the field, but they have missed hugely key players. Santi Cazorla, no one's even talking about him, but if they have him for a whole season fully fit, they're probably going a lot closer than they have been. And they've put all their eggs in this homegrown basket. And Walcott, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Gibbs, Ramsey, they've all really disappointed. And I think they're going to have to change tact in the summer. It's a big summer for them. Huge summer.
Huge summer. Vaishali, there's a lot of transfer rumours surrounding Arsenal and a lot of rumours surrounding the coach as well. You know, there's a lot of names being bandied about. I mean, Arsenal fans are kind of being made to watch the same movie, a remake of the same movie every single season, aren't they? It doesn't feel like they're going anywhere. Is that why the fans are so frustrated?
I think they get frustrated when you look certainly at the transfer windows and they're not seeing enough players coming in. They're obviously frustrated. They obviously know the positions that they think they should strengthen. Mm. And then you just get one signing, was it, in January? One out of four players?
El Neni in January.
And last season was obviously just Czech, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So of course they're going to be frustrated. Yeah. They know the club have got money, and they want to see that money reinvested into the team.
Yeah, everyone mentions that Olivier Giroud needs either like a top quality replacement. Dave mentioned Sanchez up front, but a very quick stat on Olivier Giroud: since he's last scored a Premier League goal, Barcelona have scored more La Liga goals than he's scored in his entire Premier League career. It's kind of damning in indication of his ability and Arsenal's Wenger's refusal to buy a top-class striker, Dave.
I think it's quite interesting. I looked at the chance conversion yesterday, just on the off chance. You know, some stuff I do, I just go and look at chance conversion for Arsenal strikers.
Standard Thursday night.
Yeah, just that Thursday night in with the computer. But no, it was... So all the Arsenal forwards that they've got there, so you've got Walcott, you've got Giroud, you've got Sanchez, Joel Campbell. I'm missing one here, but anyway, we'll move on. Welbeck, sorry. Yeah, they're all either 20% or lower in chance conversion. That's scoring a goal every five shots. The problem with Arsenal is they don't shoot enough to have that as a chance conversion to be fruitful. We'll go around Europe and we'll just compare to strikers that they could have had. Higuain is at 23%, but again, shoots a lot, scored 30 league goals, nothing else to talk about there. Aubameyang's on 26%, and then Luis Suarez, a player that they could have got a few Januaries ago, is on 30%. And that's the calibre that you need to win a league or to get a striker that's there, and they need to be between the sort of 22% and 30% chance conversion to be recognised as a top forward. And it's quite interesting that someone like Luis Suarez, if he'd gone to Arsenal, would have won the league. This season he's been incredible again for Barcelona. He's been directly involved in 49 goals, 34 goals and 15 assists, which is absolutely incredible. Imagine being this Arsenal team, they'd win the league easily.
I think, interestingly, Ozil's getting a lot of questions. He's got 2 years left in his contract at Arsenal, and people are saying he's going to renew soon, and he's saying, oh, we'll leave it to the end of the season. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stories that Sanchez and Ozil are considering their Arsenal future. And just to go back to what we were talking about before, I don't think the Emirates is a particularly nice place to play if you're a footballer. Like, mm-hmm. the pitch is immaculate. It's not the loudest crowd. It's quite a critical crowd. Like, if you're, you get to live in London, which is probably a pretty nice bonus if you're a footballer. But if you're a really top striker, do you want to do you want to take the risk of moving to Arsenal? Because it is a risk if you're a top player. You could be a Aubameyang, you could stay in, you could stay at Dortmund and then go to Barcelona or Real Madrid. There's no real need even to go to Arsenal. You're probably not going to win the league for a few years. You're going to get booed a lot.
So Wenger's got a point about the fans in the stadium.
Absolutely, 100% he has.
100%. Okay. Glad we've settled that. let's take an EasyJet flight or Ryanair. Other airlines are available over to La Liga.
We wouldn't have made the Liga if it was with Ryanair. We'd have landed in like Greece or something. Yeah.
It's a quick coach to the airport. Let's talk a little bit La Liga title running. Obviously, Atletico, Barca, and Madrid all really in the running. Barca the only team that aren't in the Champions League yet. Vaishali. Thoughts on La Liga title running? Atletico look so impressive at the moment. That, you know, they've got their Champions League home form under Diego Simeone, 14 clean sheets, 13 wins, conceded only 4. And they've got 135 clean sheets in 256 games since he's come into the club. Are they the favourites, weirdly?
I think, yeah, they will be, but certainly Real Madrid as well. I mean, I think if you're looking at the last 6 games out of Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico, Real Madrid have won all 6 of their last 6. Atletico have won 5, and of course Barcelona have just won 2. So I think Real Madrid and Atletico are very much favourites.
You see Barca dropping more points?
Well, they've got a really tough game this weekend against Real Betis. Mm. So that's going to be a bit tough. But I think considering that they won, was it 6-0 last week? I think they're going to be trying to get back, so you know, regain some pride as it were. Atletico, probably I think out of the 3 fixtures this weekend, have the easiest. Got home game. Their home record, as you mentioned, is really, really good. Mm. Real Madrid, I think, could struggle. I think they're away to Real Sociedad. Sociedad, of course, who beat Barcelona, who've beaten Sevilla this season. And, of course, they haven't got Ronaldo. So that's going to be the worry. I think they look slightly blunt against Man City in the Champions League. I also wonder how much some of these teams will be looking towards the Champions League, Atletico and Real Madrid. Of course, the La Liga title is there for anyone to take because Barca and Atletico are both on 82 points, Real on 81. But there's big games coming up for Atletico and Real Madrid. So it'll be interesting to see how motivated they are to go out and get all 3 points this weekend.
I can actually see a reverse happening of what happened 2013-14. I think Atletico are going to win the Champions League and I still think Barca are going to win the league.
Yeah.
It's in their hands, essentially. They just have to win their games. They've scored 14 goals in the last 2 games. And interestingly, we mentioned Dennis Suarez earlier. Barcelona actually retained a buyback clause on him. So I think he'll definitely be one to arrive in the summer. And they've been linked with Lacazette a lot this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've realised they don't have an over-reliance on MSN because they are probably the best front three ever in club football. But they've realised, we got rid of Pedro and we've not quite had that utility forward to come step in on
depth.
Cup games. They've not been able to really rest Suarez and Messi and Neymar. They've been rushing them back from injury and they just look a bit knackered when they went through that dodgy spell. So they do just need a utility forward brought in.
That's a good point. Barcelona got rid of Fabregas, they got rid of Pedro. They weren't the most adored players ever. Well, Pedro was popular, but Fabregas wasn't. But the source of goals, they need to back up Messi, Neymar and Suarez when they go on these, you know, these big global trips and they come back knackered.
100%. I think it's weird we're selling Pedro. I didn't really, you know, they had the young lads Munier and Sandro coming in, but they're not Pedro's quality.
Mm.
Especially Pedro in a possession-based side. I think he struggled at Chelsea because he's playing on the counter-attack and he doesn't really know how to do that. He's not the smartest, intelligent player on the ball. It's off the ball where he kills people. And that's why Barcelona was so beautiful, because they had the ball and he could just make those runs in behind and they'd find him and he can finish. But yeah, I think the Denis Suarez point was quite interesting. You know, going to Manchester City from Barca, then back to Barca on a free transfer, then over to Villarreal, now back to Barca. It could be quite good for him. But again, like I mentioned before, maybe slightly inconsistent in games, drifts in, drifts out. So he has to work on that if he wants to make it at Barca, because Munier and Sandro have sort of felt that this season, that when they've played well, they, you know, the stars, the next Messi, the next Ronaldo, the next Luis Suarez. But then when they've had poor performances, that Catalan media has really jumped on them.
I think there's not a lot of goals in that Barcelona midfield, which sounds like a strange thing to say, because you've got Busquets, Iniesta and Rakitic, who are probably the best 3 trio of centre midfielders you could get in world football. But it is all about setting them front three up. Suarez is a bit of a different entity. He does chip in with, like, 10 or so league goals a season, and their backup at the moment is Sergio Roberto, which is this all-action utility man. I think he's played every position apart from in goal during his Barcelona career.
Yeah.
So he did come up with a big goal in El Clasico earlier this season, but he's that's not what he's in the team to do. Dennis Suarez is a bit more creative, he's a bit more forward-thinking. Iniesta is getting deeper and deeper as his legs get a bit more tired, he gets a bit older. They could just do with a bit more. Rakitic, like, revolutionised that midfield just by having that energy. I think they could do with another player of that ilk.
Yeah. Charlie, we need to talk about Real Madrid. Since Zidane's taken over, they've only lost twice versus Atletico Madrid, aforementioned, and in the first leg against Wolfsburg, that really odd display. I mean, they've looked pretty irresistible under Zidane, but that Ronaldo factor, that's a huge miss, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you realise just how much this team really misses him when he doesn't play, and you saw that against Man City. And that's why I do wonder about the result this weekend. But, you know, they've got the quality in this team. There's no doubting that. So there should not be no real problems coming away with 3 points this weekend. And they're gonna fight for the title. They're only a point behind the other two.
And if they win it, I mean, that's all that Real Madrid want is Zidane to come in and, you know, deliver that title, especially over someone like Luis Enrique.
Definitely, yeah. It'll be like a fairy tale season, bringing in Zidane back to the team and then winning the La Liga from Barcelona.
That's all Perez has ever wanted. Is like they've won very little under both his Galactico spells, and
yeah,
he's just pinned both his hopes both times on Zidane. Like, he'll just he's just going to run for president again based solely off that decision, I reckon.
Zidane's a bit unsackable, isn't he, for Perez? It's, you know,
he's says
the
that's
most
quite interesting
figure at the club.
Yeah, he's sort of, Perez is now stuck. He's stuck with his man. And I think Atletico are going to, like James is saying, I reckon they'll win the Champions League, but they won't win La Liga. I feel like
Barca for the league?
Yeah, I think Barca for the league. I just think that they've woken up again. You know, they potentially started to get back to that form. You know, in the Champions League, they're very, very disappointing, not defending properly. But going back to Atletico, they've got quite good depth, so they could rotate their side at the weekend, which means if anyone were to win both the La Liga and Atletico and the Champions League, it's definitely going to be Atletico.
I'm surprised Barca went in for Hummels, to be honest.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If he's saying he wants to go to Bayern...
They might be. He's basically put himself in the shop window.
He has, but Rummenigge came out and said, oh, we're interested in Hummels, we have a great relationship with Dortmund, really played that up. So he's nailed on to go there. Really top German players rarely leave the country.
True.
They're quite insular in the fact that they know they're going to win six league titles if they go to Bayern, bare minimum. Whereas maybe they thought Hummels was a bit similar to Piqué, but they've been pulled apart a little bit at the back recently. Mascherano is a fantastic centre-half, considering he's kind of learnt on the job at Barca.
Yeah.
But it's fundamentally not the position he played growing up, of 10 years of his career, and I think occasionally it does still show. Still, they could do just buy a centre half. They haven't done it for donkey's years, have they, Barca?
They bought Thomas Vermaelen and Jeremy Mathieu, which was sort of unexpected, a top class centre half. You mentioned Hummels going to Bayern. One question that we had in related to Bayern was what do we think of Pep Guardiola not starting Müller in the first leg against Atletico? Vaishali, is Guardiola guilty of overthinking his formation again in a big game? It was Alaba in the centre of a back three. It didn't seem to make much sense, did it?
It didn't. It was a very, very brave move because he was absolutely slaughtered by the press in Germany for that decision. I mean, Müller's that kind of player. He's kind of the undroppable player, isn't he? That you just don't leave out, unless he's injured, of course. Perhaps he was overthinking it. But I think you'll see him come back for the second leg.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
I think Atletico are this really physical side, and I think he thought if I put Müller up against Godin or Jimenez up against Lewandowski, like, I'm kind of playing their game a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You can criticize him as overthinking it. I think leaving out Müller was a bigger and poorer decision than Klopp not failing to bring on Sturridge last night. I can actually see the sense in the Klopp one. I can kind of see what Guardiola was trying to do. Koeman's pace, he essentially his assist record in the Champions League and Bundesliga this season is incredible. But you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, aren't you, I guess? If it comes off, everyone's praising Guardiola's a tactical genius again. If it doesn't, then you're getting slaughtered. It's only 1-0 as well.
Yeah. Dave, I mean, Bayern Munich actually looked a lot better and dominated the last 20 minutes when they brought on Müller, shift Alaba to left back, played a back four. You know, they played much more standard tactics, they looked a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. I think just on 2 points there, first going back to the Thomas Müller, it's crazy. 8 goals in the Champions League this season, joint top scorer for Bayern Munich with Lewandowski. They've had a brilliant relationship about getting into the box and moving together. What you need to do with this Atletico team is move them out of where they want to be. Hence why you play Thomas Müller, because he's so good at picking up those little pockets of space. And I felt it was too easy for Atletico to defend against. Again, Kingsley Coman, I'd bring him on as an impact sub because he's so quick, because he's so fresh. He's not ready to start games like of that quality. He was quite poor in the game. He had one moment where he jumped past
Felipe
a few players.
He's had him in his pocket.
Yeah, 100%. Again, yeah. And then the other point, you know, David Alaba at left back. I don't know what you're doing there. He's tried to evolve it. He's tried to get these fullbacks moving inside and becoming playmakers or deep line playmakers, but it doesn't work. He's trying to isolate wingers with their fullbacks, but the issue against Atletico is that you're not going to get that situation because they defend so compactly, and the right midfielder is always going to be supporting the right back, the left midfielder is going to be supporting the left back, and it's just sometimes I question Guardiola, and again I questioned it. The positioning of Vidal in the second half, he was dominant in the first half, was so good at getting close to those Atletico Madrid midfielders in the right areas, pressing them, nicking the ball back, and then he just looked like he'd stuck him at number 10 or like as an attacking midfielder, and he was so disjoint away from everyone else. There was just so many questions that Guardiola really overthought, and he got it completely wrong.
Vashali, is Guardiola guilty of a bit showing off sometimes with this sort of tactical? I mean, we saw Laurent Blanc do that against Man City. He played three at the back. He's never played three at the back, and he did a big sort of, you know, bravado sort of formation statement. Is Guardiola a bit guilty of just showing off at how clever his tactics are instead of just playing, you know, 4-2-3-1, just standard formations?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I think he's obviously trying to push the boundaries, isn't he? He tries different things. Of course, when you do it in big matches and it doesn't come off, as you mentioned, you'll get slaughtered in the press, won't you? But yeah, he pushes the boundaries. I like Guardiola. He's a brave manager. But I just do think sometimes stick to something simple.
Yeah.
And it probably will work.
That's what Simeone does. He doesn't change the plan so much. Yeah. It works ridiculously well because everyone knows what they're going to do.
I saw a tweet which said that the reason Müller didn't play is because against Atletico there's not much round to Deuter. It was quite amusing. That's it. We're out of time. We're all done. This was fantastic. James, Vaishali, Dave, thank you so much for coming on. This has been the Squawker Talk. I've been Nick English. See you very soon. Bye bye.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.